down for him.
Right.
He drives down.
But I do want to thank all of you.
I heard somebody say it coming up to Rochester. Oh. It's all down to George, we'd like to have you do your opening statement, if you'd like
sure,
to,
very
3
good.
To 5 minutes.
Sure.
And you can begin.
First of all, thanks for coordinating the weather and making me feel right at home from being in Duluth. So I really appreciate that. But anyways, I'm George Goldfarb. I'm the region finalist from the 8th Congressional District. I'm going to start with a quick summary so everyone understands the importance of higher education to me and why I'm clearly the best candidate for the region position. My financial and business background is a key differentiator in contrast to the other region finalists, but more importantly, in complementing the competencies of the current Board of Regents. We need a board with diverse backgrounds that can support and challenge each other, and therefore you should capitalize on my strong business background. This is so critical as I look at the financial challenges ahead for the university system. At Maurice's in Duluth, I run a very successful business delivering top-tier profits in the competitive retail industry. A 15% operating margin, over $750 million in annual revenues with 760 stores and growing, including managing a $30 million capital expense budget. My ability to surface new business strategies, challenge the status quo, strong communication and collaboration skills, and my solid analytical abilities all support why I'm the best candidate. When Maurice's was sold in 2005, I advocated to keep the company in Duluth. And here, 5 years later, we've not only stayed in Duluth, but we're now bringing accounting and payroll functions to Duluth to support the enterprise's 2,500 stores, Maurice's, Dress Barn, and Justice. Three operations doing over $2.6 million in revenues brought to Duluth, leveraging the strong Minnesota education, the strong work ethic, and the favorable wage structure. I don't see the Board of Regents any different than running a business. You need great people. You need strategic leadership, innovation, teamwork, and collaboration. My intent is to leave you with a strong sense of passion and a recognition of why my leadership and experience makes me the best candidate. I'm at a stage in my career when giving back is extremely important to me, with education being one of the key focuses. A recent empty nester with a wife and three wonderful children, I'm involved in the Duluth community and region as well as the University of Minnesota Duluth. I'm from Duluth and attribute much of my tremendous success in business to my education and experiences from the University of Minnesota Duluth. I'm on the UMD Labovitz School of Business Board, as well as chair of the APEX Board. APEX is a private sector-led business development resource, which focuses on expansion, attraction, and retention of business in the northern region. Everything starts with education, and I look forward to working as a regent to provide an affordable, quality curriculum for higher education and support the university as a premier research institute. Now to formally address a few of your questions that were sent in advance. As to relevant background, I think what I had previously mentioned says it all. I've got a strong leadership, financial, and fiduciary experiences with Maurice's and various boards that I chair and am part of, including board and governance experience from both the public and non-profit sectors. In regards to current and past involvement with the university, again, I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota Duluth in accounting, a Labovitz School of Business member, a Business Person of the Year in 2010 as nominated by UMD's Labovitz School of Business and Regional Business Leaders, a financial supporter of various programs at the University of Minnesota. In regards to governance experience, very fluent in governments from my nonprofit boards and involvement, and as COO of a public company as well as chair of APEX for the Northern Region. In regards to specific governance at Maurice's, I have extensive experience with representation on boards, implementing and executing policies and procedures, having a strong budget process in place, both short-term and long-term, Sarbanes-Oxley regulations, internal control audit committee, internal audit, comp committees, the list goes on and on. From a fiduciary responsibility perspective, as COO for a 760-store retail chain, I run a significant business with over $750 million in annual revenues and over 7,500 employees, driven by solid business plans and strategies. We have registered record profits for the last couple of years despite the recessionary economic times. In addition, I played an integral role of driving synergies across our three brands. This is relevant as it demonstrates ability to work effectively cross-functionally. I have fiduciary responsibility as chair for APEX and as a grants chair for the Duluth Legacy Endowment Fund. In regards to equity and diversity, first and foremost, you have to be fair and equitable at all times. That's core to our culture. Policies and programs should be instituted to encourage greater diversity, addressing both ethical and cultural differences beyond just blacks and Hispanics. Keep diversity at the forefront. Respect and embrace it at all times. From experience, this requires a strong commitment and balance. I get a sense from some of my initial discussions that there appears to be an opportunity to be more intentional and assertive about diversifying. We need to attract by offering programs that directly address issues of diversity. Can we learn from universities with greater diversity is a question. Examples of leadership experience and strength. I have a strong financial background, strategic and very planful, strong communication skills, solid inquiry skills. I'm a team player, very supportive, but also challenge when appropriate. I lead by what I call divine discontent. Can't be complacent. You need to keep challenging the status quo and keep innovating. Complacency is one of my biggest fears. A strong culture is a critical aspect of our success at Maurice's, promoting accountability and ownership at all levels. I have over 25 years of upward movement at Maurice's, led many diverse areas, which shows my adaptability, and 4 years in public accounting. My understanding of the roles and responsibilities of Board of Regents, the Board should clarify and support the mission of the University of Minnesota and approve programs necessary to fulfill the mission, monitor and evaluate the performance in achieving its goals, and fulfilling its mission, have a strong president in place, including appointing, monitoring, supporting, motivating, and advising. In this case, the successful onboarding of Dr. Kaler will be critical in 2011. Provide fiduciary responsibility for the long-term welfare of the university, again, where I feel I can leverage my background to have to make a huge difference. Approve major policies, long-range plans, educational programs, budgets, etc., ensuring adequate resources are in place. My understanding of the responsibilities of being a regent, support the mission. The mission is critical. Maintain the highest ethical standards, abiding by the board policies with respects to ethics and conflicts of interest. Maintaining loyalty to the entire institution rather than just any part of. Fiscal leadership and fiduciary responsibility is critical, and of course accepting the significant time commitment. Support the successful onboarding of the new president. Be a confidant and sounding board to the president and board of region members. Be forthright at board meetings, and then support and align to the board decisions when made. It's critical to support each other as well as to respectfully challenge, probe, and raise questions. Lastly, regents need to be foster openness and trust among members of the board, the administration, the faculty, the students, state government, and the public. My ability to communicate at all levels is very key and would be a great representation. Why would I like to be a regent? I want to become a regent because higher education is critical for students, for business, for government, and supporting education is one of my commitments. How will I know if I've been successful at the end? Success will be clear when I know I have made a difference for the students in the educational system by supporting a strengthened university system with strong leadership in place from the president to the board. I have a history of being a confidant and sounding board to the president, and I was always independent and ethical, doing what was right for the university, not for political reasons, not for any personal bias or benefits. Minnesota and the university face significant financial challenges ahead, and I will look back knowing I have made a positive difference by leveraging my experience, my leadership skills, my financial background, and passion for education. In closing, again, I'm confident I'm the best candidate, and hopefully I've convinced you. I plan on spending time networking today and look forward to my future discussions with the Higher Education Committee and the legislature. It has been such a pleasure to get to know and learn from Rebecca and George of the Advisory Council. I've reached out and networked with Anthony Barago and Patricia Simmons from the current Board of Regents. To date, I've connected with Duluth University officials, getting their perspectives from Chancellor Lynn Black, Dean Shel Knutson, and Vice Chancellor Greg Fox, and discussed key issues with various legislative representatives. I have not taken this process lightly, and I know I can make a huge difference in assuring the university's success, which ultimately translates to the success of our students delivering a quality and affordable education. Thanks for listening and your time, and I look forward to any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Richard Newell, you get the first question.
I get the first question. Well, the university has a stated objective of trying to be one of the top research institutions in the world. And that's kind of the current administration. We have a new president coming. I'd like to hear what your thoughts about that goal. How do you think the transition ought to go with the new president with respect to that goal of creating or establishing a new vision? What are your opinions and thoughts on that topic?
Well, research is critical to the University of Minnesota, and you know, I think when I look at the financial system today, I think research is one of those things that we're really going to have to prioritize. You know, have a real ROI mindset, return on investment mindset, and I think we really have to look at what are those priorities in research. But research is critical, and Dr. Kaler, President Kaler, will certainly get behind it from everything that I've read and be a supporter, because I think being a quality research institute is critical.
Hey, Margaret Carlson.
Yes, you made the statement that running the university should be no different than running a business. Key to running a business is return on investment, which you just talked about in the last answer. In research, it can not only take years, decades, perhaps a quarter of a century to get a return on investment in research. Mm-hmm. And then you've got tenured faculty, and I could give you four or five other examples. Explain to me what you mean by running a university is no different than running a business, given tenured faculty and the research.
Well, at the end of the day, in the most simplistic form, there's revenue and expenses, and they have to balance. But more importantly, when I talk about an ROI mindset, you're really looking at from the revenue perspective as well as an expense perspective, and a lot of this comes from good strategic planning, is what are the priorities. And I think in the economic environment that we're in, you have to keep prioritizing, whether it's on the revenue side or the expense side. And I think earlier I mentioned you need to be innovative, and innovative isn't always expense control. So I don't want anybody to think that this is all about expense control by any means. You have to spend money to make money, and research is critical, and it's a key form of the revenues of the university.
Ardell Brady.
Not a question, but a clarification on something I said during our reference discussion. Like Brady and Grady, I had my Golds mixed up. Mr. Goldfarb has not been an applicant before. It was Mr. Goldfein, and I apologize for I've mistaken that.
That's not a problem.
Welcome you this morning. Right. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Actually, Mr. Goldfein's father, which was Irv, had been a regent. I think the last regent from Duluth.
And
a distinguished, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Richard Istey.
Research has been in the forefront of this university for some time. What would your views or thoughts be on partnering with corporate companies to partner in a research project that would be beneficial for both sides?
Oh, I think it's a tremendous idea to partner with the public and private businesses on research. I think there's plenty to be benefited by those businesses, and it's something that should certainly continue to be pursued. I do see that today in some of the readings that I've looked at, so I think it is very beneficial.
The second part of that would be, do you see a problem on retaining some benefits from the internet, the results of the successful research project that both the corporate and the university could identify, or how can you protect the properties?
I mean, if the university was part of the, you know, the process, I don't see any issues with retaining some of the intellectual property. Is that the question?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a partnership, and I think the university should be benefited. I think those are things that need to be, you know, discussed in advance, and you know, should be part of forming that partnership.
Okay, Jennifer Godinez.
Mr. Goldfarb, you were talking a little bit about in your opening statement that you would you'd actually start to talk to some legislators about the university, and we've actually heard on the radio already some leaders saying, you know, the University of Minnesota will get no increase. You know, they're pretty firm, those in leadership now in the House, in the Senate Higher Ed Committee. So let us know a little bit more, if you can, what you plan to discuss with legislators. And then secondly, I think it's a key question to follow up on, if you're already starting to talk to legislators, and what do you feel your role would be with the CEO in terms of the legislature? What's that difference, or what's that fine line between the governance role communicating with the legislature and the CEO, or the, in this case, our president's role in communicating with the legislature?
Okay, let's take the first question of the initial communications with the legislature. I think the more people you talk to, and I think that's part of my strong communication background, is the more you can learn. And if I can get a better understanding of some of the issues that the legislature is facing and some of the concerns that they have, I think that can help in my endeavors with the university. And the second part, could you just give me the second part of the question again?
Yeah, I mean, what do you feel in terms of your other roles with corporate work? What's that fine line between the CEO's intersection with the legislature and then those who would govern, or the trustees' role with the legislature? Would you work in partnership, or describe that kind of
When you say the CEO, do you mean personally?
I'm sorry, the president of the university.
President of the university, yeah. I'm sorry.
Whatever case we're talking about.
So the president's role...
With the legislature?
Yeah.
And then the trustees' role with the legislatures. How do you see that partnership working in terms of that connection back to the legislature, requesting funds or talking about the university?
Well, I think it's a partnership is what it really is. You have to work together, and obviously the legislature is a key source of funding for the university. So I think that partnership has to be strong. We need to give them a good understanding of why we need the funds that we need. And, the worst thing that we can do if we can't get the state funding is it's going to put more pressure on tuition and administration. It's going to put pressure on administration costs. And if we have to start cutting administration, there's going to be quality issues. So I think that partnership is key.
Okay, Sonia Cairns.
No.
No? All right. George Sundstrom, please.
Mr. Goldfarb, can you give us your perspective of the relationship between the president and individual board members?
Yeah, I think in my opening speech I mentioned the word confident and partner. So I think... Like any board, you have to collaborate. You have to work together. In this case, I could see the board members being sounding boards to the president. Obviously, going to be supporting the president, and as well as challenging in looking at some of the issues that need to be addressed. So I see a strong partnership.
All right. Patrick Duncanson.
Thank you. Thanks for coming today. First of all, I have to bite a little bit about divine discontent.
Uh-huh.
You got me on that one. Can you just...
Sure. Divine discontent is really nothing more than, especially in our business, and I think in any business, you have to keep challenging yourself. You have to keep challenging the status quo and innovating. So I kind of came up with that word, divine discontent, because you want to keep moving forward. Complacency is my biggest fear, and I think is any business's greatest fear. You've got competition. You have to keep moving ahead and challenging yourself. So that's my definition.
Thank you. Well, I try to not to manage with a fire hose when I can, but sometimes I have to.
And that isn't meant when you say fire hose. That is not meant to be real challenging or aggressive by any means. Yeah. It's really challenging yourself to, you know, what are some of those next best ideas, and I think the university has to keep doing that too.
And now I'm on to my real question.
Yeah.
The origins of the university as a land-grant institution has its inherent threefold mission of research, teaching, and outreach. What do you think are the most significant challenge? And I'm going to give you two different time frames to think about. And when we talk about strategic planning, we have to plan for challenges sometimes as well. So what do you think are the most significant challenges in the next, in the short term? I'm going to say in the next 6 months to a year. And then in the longer term, maybe 5 years or further out.
Okay, now challenges of the...
I'm going to say challenges to the to that mission of research, teaching, and outreach. Challenges to the core mission of the university.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, I think when you look at the challenges to the university today, the financial challenges are a key issue. And I think that is going to that can threaten the quality of the education. It can threaten the research. But I think what you really have to do, and I think you said it, it's key, is long-term planning is very important. Important planning is important. You have to prioritize, again, going back to, like any businesses, you have to look at the expenses, and you have to keep looking for efficiencies, especially in this tougher economic times. I mean, it's tough to see that, you know, the education, the tuition rates have outstripped in inflation. How do we combat some of that, again, with you know, prioritizing of resources, looking for efficiencies?
How about longer term? I mean, the financial certainly is on the forefront short term.
Mm-hmm. I mean, long term, you really have to you know, put a solid business plan in place and you know, start planning today for that. But,
yeah. Thank you.
All right, Paul Taylor.
George, you are a graduate of, in my vernacular, the largest coordinate campus of the University of Minnesota, exclusive of the Twin Cities campus. As a regent, if you were faced with the difficult challenge of voting for something in Rochester and against something in Duluth, how would you deal with that difficult circumstance?
That's a great question. And while it's important to have, very important to have some representation from the north in District 8, the way I would approach anything is making the best decision for the university. So you really have to look at every situation. You don't give it any bias. You have to look at every situation on its own laurels and make the right decision accordingly. Ethics is key. It's a key part of my my mission, that's for sure.
Jerry Rogers.
Thank you. You made a statement in your opening statement, and I apologize if I didn't get this quite right, but you said you'd measure your success on if you made a difference for the students. Mm-hmm. What difference do you need to make for those students? What's going on now, and what difference do you think you...
Well, the difference when I would look back, I would see that it had been a positive impact on the students, that we were able to come up with some ways to keep tuition more in check, and as well as, most importantly, delivering a quality education. So we look back, and you know, U of M is a great research institute, delivers a phenomenal education. And at very affordable rates.
Can I just add a little bit? What I was hoping you might comment on the educational mission of the university. Are they meeting that now, and how might that be different in the future?
The educational mission, yeah, I think it's it is definitely being met today. From an educational mission perspective, I think you would just. It would continue to expand and evolve and be a quality institute. And that would, you know, that's when I look back, it'll be, again, it'll be a quality institute. It would have been at affordable rates and a quality institute from both a research as well as an educational perspective.
Okay. All right, David Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Govar, you mentioned your business acumen, and if you were to become a regent, one of the most critical points to get to is the financing of the university and its future. if you were to take the University of Minnesota's budget now and you carve out those budget pieces solely related to research and those solely related to athletics, you're left with academia.
Mm-hmm.
Might it surprise you to know or to find out as a regent that the University of Minnesota may not have statistics on what the per student cost of education is? And if you do find that out, what would you do about that?
Well, it would surprise me if they didn't have the per cost of education, because I think there's very clear statistics that I've seen that has shown the educational increases year by year, you know, of students and at the different levels. So I think, again, it kind of goes back to, with my financial background, I guess I would want to understand how can I moderate some of those tuition increases? What are some of the things that we can be doing more efficiently as a university system, or what other sources of revenue are there that can help in driving the university?
Okay, Jim Erickson.
Madam Chair, I have two short questions, if I could roll up. First, if elected to a six-year term, would you be willing to commit to serving two terms, 12 years?
You know, it's difficult to say at this time, but my full intention would be to commit to the two terms, that it would be a great experience, that I can make a difference. And at this point in time, yeah, I would be looking out the full 12 years of enjoyment and knowing that I could support the institution.
Thank you. And then, if I may, Madam Chair, let me probe the Paul Taylor's question. The regent from Duluth, and obviously one that lives in Duluth, is viewed by Duluth and the supporters of UMD as their regent. Your answer was that it's kind of same, and you use the word ethical. I wonder if that's really true. Wouldn't you feel, and would you tell me how you balance being the regent from Duluth with respect to that campus? Paul gave you an example, but I'd like to probe that question further, because I think there is a responsibility for that.
That
regent, but it requires a balance, and I'd like you to elaborate on your answer.
Yeah, the balance is the important thing. You know, I could really see being a great. I've got to know Chancellor Lynn Black pretty well through various boards like APEX and things like that, and I could see myself being a good partner to Lynn, understanding, how I could support him as well as, you know, ultimately supporting the university. But when it comes, the key part is, when it comes to making decisions for the University of Minnesota, you have to look at the whole. You can't look at the parts. So, again, I would support, and I would support him in any way, as long as it was the right decision for the University of Minnesota. And I think that's really where you have to draw the line. Is it right for the entire system, or is it right for UMD? And those can get blurry, and you have to be very cautious.
Okay, Harriet Porter.
Thank you. I'm going to give you a scenario, and what I'm really interested in is how you think through the response. Assume that you've been appointed to the Board of Regents, and the administration has brought forward a proposal to rebalance the budget halfway through the fiscal year. They plan to do this with an across-the-board cut, and I want to state very clearly this is strictly scenario. This is not in the works. What questions would you ask? And what information would you need to be ready to vote on the proposal? And then I have a second follow-up question, depending on your response to the first.
Okay. Well, it's a great question, because I think, especially during this economic time, that's not an unrealistic scenario. But what you'd really have to do is, if they brought forward these cuts, you'd really want to look at these cuts and say, what impact are these cuts going to have? And there's a mission. And you want to uphold your mission, and the mission is obviously tied to a quality education, tied to a quality research institute, and you need to understand how is it going to impact, you know, your mission or who the university is today. So I would segment those reductions in, you know, are they short-term, long-term, what type of impact are they, and then prioritize. I think prioritizing is going to be the key.
I think you answered both of my questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Paul Thatcher.
Sir, if the University of Minnesota hosts the largest number of Chinese nationals and students outside of China, larger than any other educational institution in the world. There are those in Minnesota who think that those students, those Chinese students, occupy seats and learning opportunities that should belong to us. And particularly in these days of constricting resources. That also, secondarily, we're educating our competition. What would you say to those who thus complain?
I think you have to look at the big picture and is there, I think in that case, there's probably benefit that we're getting to this reciprocity. But I think if it was well thought out, you know, ahead of time, that this is the goals of these programs, and obviously diversity is very important. I think if you had thought it all well, you should be able to defend it by saying, you know, this was the strategy behind it. You know, so I think you have to understand the full strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lois Josephson.
Talk for us a little bit your understanding of the difference between management and governance.
Management and governance, okay. Management is, in my mind, you're managing people, you're managing a business. Where governance is different, these are, you know, policies and procedures and guidelines or controls that are in place with governance. You know, governance of a board.
Answer?
Yes, and then the follow-on to that would be, your experience has been very strong business-wise in the management sector.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see your internal ability to move from that sector into the governance sector vis-a-vis the University of Minnesota?
I don't see it being a difficult transition at all. I think I'm going to go back. I'm going to kind of blur it here. I'm going to go back to, it's really about your leadership. And my leadership, when I look at it, you know, is the strong collaboration and the strong communication and, the strategic focus. So I think those leadership skills is really what I can bring to the University of Minnesota and to the Board of Regents.
Okay, Margaret Carlson.
Yeah, to follow up on the earlier question that I asked and related to the questions that have been asked since, the largest expenditure at the university, of course, is staff, people, personnel. The universities are different from businesses because they're based on a tenure system, which means that continuous employment. What have you thought about as far as tenured faculty as you look at being a possible regent at the University of Minnesota?
Well, I think I've thought a lot about, you know, what are some of the, efficiencies and how would you approach some of the efficiencies. And, there's multiple universities in place today and they're different sizes. And are we getting adequate leveraging from some of some of the smaller universities? So I think it's something that we'd have to challenge ourselves on in general. But I think with tenured, I think the key is, as you find efficiencies and as you surface efficiencies, you're going to protect those tenured employees. So I think in some cases you would, as you found efficiencies, you would deploy people into different positions, but you would try to keep their keep their employment, put it that way.
So you're saying a tenured faculty member, if his or her discipline was not what was needed in the university at this point in time, you would suggest to the president and provost they do a deployment strategy for that person?
Well, yeah, I think overall you're going to try to surface efficiencies.
All right.
And as you surface efficiencies or find efficiencies, mm-hmm. then you're going to have to look at the team and say, is there other places that you can utilize their skill set? You know, so you can bring the overall efficiencies home, yet protect those tenured associates.
Okay, Jerry Rogers.
Thank you. Mr. Goldfarb, I've heard you use the term prioritize several times in your discussion today. Can you tell me what you think should be the top priorities of the Board of Regents?
Top priorities of the Board of Regents, it's going to be to support and the mission. It's going to be to support the president. It's going to be to guide the university in the planning and the overall operations. Support the president, you're going to support the mission and the fiduciary responsibility for the university, look at the strategies and like I said, long-term planning and provide the governance.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions? Otherwise, we will go to your closing statement if you'd like.
Sure. I think, again, I'd really like to go back on. I kind of started with my closing statement and really just summarize that I've run a significant business and I have very strong leadership skills, and I really would look forward to the challenge of being on the Board of Regents and guiding the university to a successfully moving ahead to being a great educational facility and great research facility. And I look forward to that challenge.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goldfarb.
Thank you.
Thank
you for your time.
Interest and support in the University of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Was my body language too?